from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Here comes Crook. A swing and a drive deep down the line and left. It's hooking at the foul pole. That ball is history. Wyatt Langford has hit for the cycle. It's a 3-run Jimmy Jack to finish it off. And the Rangers lead 11-2. How about that?
Eric Nadel with the call on your home for Rangers baseball. In case you did not know, good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy with you. Bobby will be back on Friday. We got Peyton and Carter. Ronnie Pains in the back, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube.
This is amazing because he showed up like 10 minutes before time, which normally for him, it's like 10 minutes after he's supposed to be here.
That's right.
He's going to set the building on fire.
Good first impression.
So much. Yeah.
Good first impression. Wyatt Langford, the first Rangers rookie to hit for the cycle since 1985. And that was impressive yesterday as the Rangers hold off the sweep and get it done without Corey Seager over Baltimore. And cycles within the first 60 games of one's career, he joins a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The previous one was Ellie De La Cruz. No one had gone for the cycle back to 07.
A rookie in his first 60 games.
Yeah, 07 with Fred Lewis. Nothing till 2023. Ellie De La Cruz, Wyatt Langford yesterday.
So cool, man.
Yep.
He's showing what we expected. You know, his first month of the year was not very good. I think that was to be expected. You're going to the major leagues. It is not double A, triple A, A ball. You're going to the major leagues. He struggled. He got hurt and he made adjustments. Like, you got to credit him. He's athletic. He's fun. And he's red hot right now. Like, keep it up, because the offense needs. And when they're clicking, you know, when they do, you know, when they have Josh Young and they've got Evan Carter hitting when he finally comes back. And when Seager, God forbid, doesn't, you know, isn't out too long, they're going to need it.
I'm going to give you the numbers across the board by month for Wyatt. Average, on base, slugging, and OPS. The slash line.
Slash line, as they call it.
In April, 226, 301, 290, 591. Ooh. In May, part of this resulting in not being up on the big league squad anymore, taking some time away, right? In May, it was 143. What? This can't be right. This says 143 across the board for the first three categories.
Did he get hurt the first game in May?
He played six games in May. 143, 143, 143, and then 286 for the OPS. I've never seen this before.
I haven't either. It has to be just he got like one single in four games or whatever.
Oh, he had 21 at-bats.
How many hits?
He had 21 at-bats. He had three hits.
And they were all singles?
They were all singles.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Because you're getting one base for the hit. You're getting the obviously the hit.
Yep.
But one base for the on base, on base percentage would be the same there. one base for the slugging. Wow.
And then we get to June.
Holy smokes.
The slash line. Perfectly said, Jared. 309, 368, 526, 894.
Wow.
309 with the batting average.
894, it's good, man. You're creeping up to 900. 900 OPS. I mean, you're not going to find somebody with a 900 OPS that isn't on an all-star team. Like, that's a really good, that's a really, really good year. I mean, shoot, anything over the 850. Anything over 800.
Yes.
You're having a solid season.
So that's winning a one-day battle. Obviously, the Rangers are losing in the bigger picture, third in the West. And Buster Olney, friend of the show on Sunday morning, said, we're in deep trouble.
And the bus, the Texas Rangers, the team they play tonight, a team that's effectively now playing for their playoff lives. As of this morning, 9 games behind in the American League West, 8 games behind in the wild card race. According to Fangraphs this morning, their chances for making the playoffs, 5.7%. The biggest shock about the Rangers, the defending champions, where has the offense gone? They're 17th out of 30 teams in runs scored.
5% chance.
5% chance. It was 20% a week ago, ish, maybe 10 days. And now it's down to 5%. That's what happens when you and look, they have not had the easiest schedule, right? They played some quality teams, but also they haven't played well. And now they're finding themselves in a spot where it's going to take a lot. And I mean a lot. They're 8 games back in the wild card, 8 games back in the division.
Yes.
With a lot of teams ahead of them in the wild card. They got like 5 teams ahead of them in the wild card.
The Yankees are 7 games up in the wild card. Minnesota has the second spot by a game lead. Then the Royals, Red Sox, Astros, Rays, Jays, and we're tied with Detroit.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and they just ran into Baltimore, who hit 60 home runs in the month of June. 60.
Yes.
Just crazy. They're hot. And the Rangers ran into them at the bad time. You know, they won 3 of 4 from the Rangers, and you're going to have to start really putting some series wins together. You know, you don't need to sweep everybody, but you got to start winning. I mean, they probably need to go during a stretch between now and the trade deadline to kind of make them feel good about making moves. They probably need to win of the next 6. They probably need to win 5 of the next 6 series. You know, just go out and start winning. It's hard. It's hard to do, but like, if you really want to feel good about your chances over the final 2 months of the season, when you get to that point, you got to put some series together.
And you'd like some clarity on buying, selling, or staying.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know. I mean, they might.
4th of July is that time. A lot of teams make the decision by 4th of July. But I think the Rangers are in a unique spot because they're so veteran. They have a limited amount of years left with Max, with DeGrom, Simeon in his prime, Eovaldi. Like, you almost force yourself to not blow it up and go for it.
Oh, yeah. And you might be a minor seller if you want to
Yeah, you
want to
sell Robertson and Yates. If you come to the decision you want to sell, you want to sell some of your back end of your bullpen guys. You want to sell Tavares.
Adolis, maybe?
Adolis, yeah. Because, like, you know, with contracts and them not being maybe sold, he hasn't aged. He may not age well. I think you can make a case that you could sell him.
So how is this schedule now going to play out before the break? They start off tomorrow with 3 games in Arlington. We had hooked you up with Padres tickets to go enjoy the World Series champs. The Padres for 3 games, they are 7.5 back. They're 8-2 in their last 10. Rangers are also hitting these teams that are kind of like been on fire recently.
Right. I mean, Milwaukee's a good team. Baltimore obviously is a good team. Kansas City's been good all year, but the Rangers really took care of them. The Mets, they hit the Mets at the wrong time. The Mets got hot.
Yeah.
Seattle, they hit the Seattle at the wrong time.
So after 3 against the Padres, it's going to be 3 against Tampa. Tampa's 4th in the East, but they're 500. They're minus 56 with a run differential. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And then you hit the road for 6 before the break. At Wash, at the armpit.
Yeah, the Angels. You know, and Wash is like, he's trying to change the culture there. They were talking, you know, Mike Trout gave a timeline, or he's, you know, they're trying to figure out a timeline for his return. And then of course, obviously Houston, and Houston, you know, just went and had a series up in New York, against the Mets, and Houston had been a team that was kind of peaking at the moment.
Today, as one Tolo said, I'm ready for this to be over with. I still love it. It's Bobby Bonilla Day.
That's right.
And I feel like an old person describing this to the youngsters.
All right, so back in late night in the 1990s, 1999, the Mets were like, yeah, we don't want you around anymore. But he had time left on his contract, so the Mets deferred his deal. So they pay him on July 1st of every year, starting in 2011. We are in year 14 of 25. Every July 1st, they pay him $1,193,248.20. They have paid out, since 2011, $16,705,474.80 to not play baseball. In a related story, Brock Purdy makes $985,000. So Bobby Bonilla on July 1st makes about, what, $300,000, $200,000 more than Brock Purdy does.
Wow.
To not play. It's one of the greatest contracts any player has ever signed. Bobby Bonilla looks at the MLBPA pension and laughs at it because this is his pension right here, man. And we are talking, it's been 25 years since Bobby Bonilla has looked at a Major League Baseball field. 25 years. And here he is on this day getting $1.1 million. And I think Baltimore is still paying him $500,000 on July 1st every year until 2028.
Wow. How sweet. What a dream.
What a dream.
What an absolute dream.
This is better than being a football coach in college and getting fired with a bag of 3 years left on your deal to go sit on a beach.
The Ed Orgeron payout.
Yep.
Right? All right. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. I love this event for all the wrong reasons. The Florida Panthers Championship Parade. I wrote down Boomer Esiason saying 200,000 showed up. Not with the shots that I saw.
The footage I've seen.
It was raining.
Fake news. That's fake news.
Right? Florida fans. I get 200,000 at a...
alternate facts.
Yeah.
I had the biggest inauguration turnout.
Yes. 200,000, according to Boomer. Not from the shots that I saw. It was raining.
It was pouring. Yeah, it was raining. It was a blizzard. Not a blizzard. A monsoon.
And Florida fans not known to be the absolute best anyway.
The Mavs got 200,000 for their parade in 2011. There are not the same amount of Florida Panther fans as Dallas Maverick fans. I mean, hockey in South Florida.
But we had two unfortunate profanity-laced incidents. The first is from this player towards Brooks Koepka. I love this. Brooks Koepka is a diehard Florida Panthers fan, and he was seen at one of the games giving it to one of the players.
Yeah, Aaron is Ekbald. Brooks is a, like you said, big-time Panther fan. He brought a traffic cone. He brought a traffic cone out there, and he was yelling at this guy saying, "You're a traffic cone. You cost us goals."
And he's clearly saying it.
Clearly saying
it. He's like, "You suck. You effing suck."
You can see it. He's getting filmed from like the stands, and Brooks is in a suite holding up this traffic cone. Well, this dude gets on the podium and has a choice words for Brooks Koepka.
F*** you, Brooks Koepka!
That's awesome.
That's cool.
We thought they had made up.
You got to give it to him. If Brooks is going to do that, you got to give it back to him when you win.
Well, I thought they made good. Brooks had said it was a bad pass in the third. I'm a diehard Peace fan. He gave up a bad goal. I just felt like if they didn't win that game, they weren't going to make the playoffs. Dedicated fan, man. And afterwards, Ekblad said, "We're not buddies. Never going to be buddies." They obviously made the playoffs. Yeah. And he said that they had put the incident behind them, that he was cool with it. And Brooks even wore his jersey. He went to a game before the Stanley Cup final and wore the guy's jersey. And Ekblad said at the end of the day, it's all just sports, right? We all get intense sometimes. It is what it is. And then he dropped the F.U. Koepka on the microphone.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. They call them the Peas. The Peas. I'm a diehard Peas fan, man.
Then they decided to go into the crowd.
They went into the crowd. This is a big mistake, okay? look, let's just say that the Panthers parade was very fun for this one fan. We're doing a live TV shot here, and they go right to this fan.
Yes.
Let's just say Matthew Tkachuk is a f***ing ball. Okay, this is live TV.
Why would you do that?
This is like when local TV stations go out like right in the middle of Victory Plaza. Yeah. After the game.
After the game.
You want the chaos, you want the crazy scene, but you're going to have the dump button ready.
You're in Florida. First, you're in Florida. You know those people are unstable. So why would you go with a live mic? Have it at least on a 20-second delay like they do at the Oscars. Give them a second. Give the producer a chance to mute it out. But no, you went in. This is a no-go live moment for me. Do you think Pat Doney could not have handled the language of this at this parade?
No,
I'm sure.
No.
You got to be crazy. You got to give like a 15, 30-second delay. Pre-tape it a minute ahead of time and send it in.
So there's the Florida Panthers championship parade.
With you, Brooks Koepka!
That's awesome. That is awesome. We have breaking news in the NBA. Does it have to do with Clay? And Bronny was asked to start, sit, and cut. MJ, LeBron, and Kobe, how would your order go? We'll tell you what the breaking NBA news is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We have breaking news in the NBA presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today, Sean and RJ with you live Monday edition to kick off your week on DFW Sports Station. The Philadelphia 76ers are spending more money. First, they gave Paul George 4 for $212. And now Tyrese Maxey 5 for $204. So $416 million being passed out in the last 12 hours by the Philadelphia 76ers and Daryl Morey.
Let me ask you this. Does Joel Embiid play for free? Like, how do they have this money?
And Tobias Harris ain't cheap.
He's leaving, though, right?
I don't know.
I think he was a free agent. Or maybe he's got 1 year left. I don't know. Yeah, how are they doing this? Why do we have... Why do we have to dump off Tim Hardaway and get a measly trade exception just to get Klay Thompson, an aging vet, at a reduced rate. But the Sixers have $416 million to spend on Maxey and George on top of Joel Embiid and maybe Tobias Harris.
Tobias just made 39. Embiid just made 47. He'll make 51 next year and then 55. And now you got 53 for Paul George and then 5204 for Tyrese Maxey. So now everyone's going to be asking to rank the big three with Philadelphia. I don't know, though. The NBA is trying to shift towards more team.
Yeah.
A lot of people are thinking the Lakers. They were going to try to get Trae Young. Big splash. Number three star. They are trying to go ahead and slowly re-sign their own. Now, maybe they try to get Klay Thompson as the number three and steal him from the Dallas Mavericks as LeBron apparently placed an early phone call to Klay. But I think we're seeing a shift, RJ, away from the super teams because of what the Boston Celtics did. Now, do they still have a super team when, you know, Kristaps Porzingis or Drew Holiday is your four? That's a hell of a team. They're just not the same names. Drew Holiday is not a superstar name.
Right. You just need good quality players.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown, you know, was not a superstar, I don't think, before the NBA Finals. The new formula for the NBA is length, versatility, people that can defend and shoot threes. It's really 3 and D that has been around for a while. Like, the Mavs tried to go ahead and get involved in this with Wesley Matthews, but the Celtics have everyone who can hit threes, D up, long, versatile, and switch.
Yeah, I'm looking at the
Sixers. That's what the Knicks are doing. The Knicks are trying to copycat the Celtics.
Yes, they're trying to build a quality team. They are. They've done it. They did a good job of it. I'm looking at the Sixers roster right now. They got 2, 4, 6. They got 8 guys on the active roster. Embiid at 51.5, George at 49, Maxey at 35. This is for this coming year. And then Oubre at 8. Paul Reed at 8, Drummond at 5, Gordon at 2, Council the 4th at 2. They got a cap hold of $45 million on Tobias Harris, $29 million on Buddy Hield, $18 on Covington and Batum, and $15 on Melton. Like, it says their cap allocations are $325 million right now. They are negative $185 million in cap space. I have no idea what any of this means. This is wild. Like, how are they able to do this?
And 76ers fans are celebrating that Tobias Harris has been replaced. So there you go.
Yeah, they were done with him. Tobias Harris over me, as the Jimmy Butler, famous Jimmy Butler quote. I just, you know, I don't know how they're able to do this, and we're sitting here trying to figure out a way to get Klay Thompson on a sign and trade.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. And that's what we were trying to figure out over the weekend. How are the Mavs going to afford how are they going to afford Klay Thompson? And the answer in that is from the Tim Hardaway deal, supposedly.
Yeah, the trade exception that they have. They're pursuing the sign and trade. They got that $16 million trade exception they got with that deal from Hardaway. But they got to stay under, this is from Bobby Marks, they've got to stay under the salary cap's first apron of $178.1 million. Meaning they've got to shed approximately $13 million from its payroll to give Thompson a deal, starting with that salary of $16 million. That means they got to do a sign and trade. But again, why the first apron and the second apron, that confuses me quite a bit. And that's part of the reason why they lost out on Derek Jones. Or did they choose Najee over him?
There's a Spencer Dinwiddie rumor that's out there, that the Mavs may be interested in bringing Spencer back. Even after he said this, in comparing the Lakers to the Mavericks when he went to L.A. last year.
I'll give y'all something funny that I told my people, because I'm fairly candid. The two situations kind of felt like this, right? Let's say you were a kid, you got your ass whooped by the bully. Dallas would have been like your mama being like, it's okay, baby, don't worry about it. Lakers are like, your dad. Now you better go out there and fight till you win. You feel me? And I just felt like that was what I needed at the time. You feel me? So I'm a big believer in kind of doing what you need to do at whatever time it is. And so that's how I felt about it.
I don't even know what the hell he said. I did say.
He doesn't either.
Huh?
I don't think he knows either.
Yeah. Well done. I've seen your shot.
I don't think he knows either.
Adam, what's your shot? I've seen your shot. But that's Dinwiddie comparing the two. And I wrote up here on the wall of guarantees, Spencer would be proven wrong. The Mavs would finish better than the Lakers. That was an easy win for me. But we'll see what happens with this Dinwiddie rumor. He was good here. He was fine. Solid.
Good player.
Nice score.
Is he wrong? Was he wrong in what he said?
What did he say?
That, you know, the Mavs
aren't going to whip you if you're bad?
Yeah, like the Mavs aren't going to, like, maybe he was
talking about... They're not going to punish you?
Maybe he's talking about the media and the fans, like the expectations that they hold themselves to. Maybe that's what it is. Which I get it. I mean, you know, we're much softer on the Mavs than I'm sure Laker fan and media is on them.
Mm.
There's an expectation there. They're the Cowboys.
Bronny was asked to start, bench, and cut between LeBron, MJ, and Kobe. Here's what he picked.
LeBron, MJ, Kobe.
Starting Bron, bench Kobe, and I'll cut MJ.
Cutting Michael.
Cutting Mike.
Benching Kobe, starting Dad.
Guess what? High IQ.
You love the answer.
I love the answer. He knows how to play the game. This is smart. He's in LA. He's playing with his dad. He's got to have his dad there. He's got to start his dad.
He could have cut his dad. That could have been. He could have gotten away with that too.
Yeah, he could have cut his dad.
He could have been funny.
Yep.
And the MJ lovers wouldn't have come after him.
Right.
You know.
But you know, he's playing. He's now a Laker, so he has to play the game.
That was smart.
Cut Michael. Easy. You got to. You can't cut Kobe. You can't be a Laker and cut Kobe. Like that's just. That's, you know, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So now it was just between. Who's gonna be gone? My dad or my dad's rival?
Yeah.
So I mean, from Bronny's standpoint, self preservation. It's smart.
And what's your start bench cut?
Starting Michael.
Same.
Bench LeBron and cut Kobe.
Same.
I think that's most. I mean, I think most people would probably cut Kobe in that situation.
Yeah, I feel like after Kobe passed away, there was this push to get him matched with LeBron. Or say better than LeBron, but I agree with you. Michael's the best player, and LeBron's the second best player of all time. Yep,
absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, the top two for me are not a question. You want to put them in the different order? You want to put LeBron first? I'm not going to fight you. If you think LeBron's better than Michael, I'm not going to fight you on that one. I disagree, but I don't think that there's any way, and I totally agree, ever since Kobe passed, people are trying to push him into an equal footing. It's not there.
All right, you want to fix the Olympic Games because of Oak Cliff.
Because Sha'Carri Richardson, she failed in her attempt to make the Olympics in the 200 meter. Now, Noah Lyles, the other American who is, you know, one of the favorites, and there's really two household names. It's Richardson and Lyles, one of the men, one of the women. But she did not win. She did not place in the top three of the 200. She's already in the 100 at the Olympics, so she's not going to be in the 200. And I hate how they do the trials. I don't think it's fair. Team USA, there are people in sports who say that the U.S. track and field team is the hardest team to make in any sport in sports.
Wow.
It is that competitive. And you are talking about razor-thin margins, hundredth of a second, to the point where they think that Sha'Carri, in a race that she ran, so she hit the inside line, and you're allowed to only do that once now. They changed the rule a couple years ago. You used to not be able to. Now you can hit it once, but if you do it a second time, it's a DQ. So she hit it on a previous race, and they think it was in her head because if you watch her run this race, she took a very wide turn out of the block, and she didn't cut the corner, which caused, I mean, look, when you're talking about hundreds of a second, that's a pretty important margin.
Right.
And they think that that was in her head, and that's why she didn't run the best race, because she has beaten that time a number of times in her lifetime. And, you know, she finishes fourth. So, first of all, I don't think Americans get enough representation in the Olympics and the track and field anyway. But also, you are talking about, you get one race?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Now, this is why an entire movie was made about the Jamaican bobsled team, because they had the one race, they failed. They all fell. But you get one race
when you kind of dominate and win all the other things leading up to it.
Yeah,
it's kind of your, you don't like fantasy football playoffs.
I hate them. Yeah,
one and done. If you get hot versus dominating the regular season.
Yep, I do. And there's another girl. Her name is a Ting Mu. She was tripped up.
Vida,
right? I think it's a ting. A ting or a thing. It's A-T-H-I-N-G. I think it's a ting.
Now I'm thinking that you're on the Jamaican bobsled team. I think it's a ting.
So she's an 800-meter runner. She's the best in the world. All right?
The best.
She's the best. Very best.
The best.
She's the youngest ever to hold the Olympic gold and the world championship medal at the same time. She did it in the last Olympics. She's 2 to 3 seconds faster than anybody else. And they know it. So these racers all bunched up and basically kind of boxed her in. And then she trips and falls and she loses. She's the best in the world.
Yeah.
And now we're not going to have the best in the world at the Olympics. Yeah.
I agree with you.
It's too penal.
I'm trying to think of a Jamaican joke to follow up with that to end this with a nice bow, but I don't have it. Carter laughing back there is enough for me to get satisfaction out of it. Sean, Sharif, RJ, Choppy, Bobby Belt back on Friday here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. More Micah drama. The teammate who has a problem with Micah Parsons during the season. That's next. And below the belt right here on The Fan.
The great RJ Choppy here. I'm back, baby.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
You missing Roberto yet?
Yeah, I do miss Bobby. It's fun because I think all your anger is directed at him, and it just saves me. It's like a buffer zone.
There was this Facebook chain. Yeah, I should actually read it. It was like a Fan Tolo Facebook thread that was asking if I was like at work or not, like last week or something. And someone was like, well, if you don't hear him interrupting, he's not in there. So nice little cheap shot there.
Wow.
But it basically got down to how I hate Bobby and how I'm undercover bitter that he was added to the show because he's like really, really smart and he's like stealing some of our shine. So I have a hatred for Bobby. This coming on the heels of look at Carter laughing back there.
Mom will see you soon.
This coming on the heels of a YouTube comment where someone said Bobby was out for my job. So Bobby was like trying to undercut me, and I hate Bobby because of how I go at him on the air.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. Oh, that's fair to you. You don't hate Bobby.
I do.
Yeah,
Peyton might.
Peyton does. Peyton, right.
Yeah, it's amazing how well we get along for being around each other every day.
Yes.
Like, this doesn't happen very often.
And we can bust each other's balls. That's the thing.
You can't, I
have to be around people who I can go at like that.
And they don't take offense to it.
Yes.
And if
someone gets worked up and offended by it, like, I can't socialize like
that. You can't socialize.
Even Ryan got it. Ryan was like, people sometimes don't understand your humor.
And that was cool for Ryan to get it because, like, I don't know if younger people get it all the time. Like, yeah. We grew up in a...
Ryan's cold.
Yeah.
He's like, cold.
We grew up in an era where, like, words, like, you making fun of somebody wasn't, like, bullying. Now...
Salmon, the book of snaps.
Yeah, now it's different. So it's like, you know, you wonder the generations and eras and how they...
This is from Jason Forsyth. Sean's a straight-up punk to Bobby, always talking mess like he's jealous, always seems butthurt that he got added.
Damn. That's harsh.
You really wanted Bobby at it. Like, you were his number one supporter.
Yeah. Bobby's Cowboys insider kind of because of me, some would say, and maybe Brian brought us. Jer A. Callie, your take is not off the mark. I feel like Bobby disrupted the chemistry of the show and it is low key ticked Sean off. So it's just really interesting. Huh. And then someone goes, weren't they hanging out the other night? It's kind of a weird theory. If they hate each other, you don't hang out.
You don't hang out in
off hours.
You don't hang out.
Yes. It's interesting to see perception.
I know. Because I think the chemistry of the show is as good as it has been in a long time.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the fact that Peyton's here, not Troy.
No.
I'm just messing with you.
The first thing you said.
You get Troy back next week. Chill out.
All right. So covering the home of the Cowboys, Micah versus Malik. This is Malik Hooker on the Keyshawn Johnson podcast being asked if he or other Cowboys care that Micah does his podcast during the season.
Problem with him. My thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, where and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and you know the run game is terrible, then you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team and the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
Woo.
Okay.
Micah, not too happy. Responded back basically saying, yo, man, you got my number. We share lockers together. Why are you talking about my focus and not everybody else's? So that was Micah not happy, as you would expect, mm-hmm. with Malik Hooker basically questioning Micah's priorities.
Correct. The irony of criticizing a guy for doing a podcast while on a podcast is definitely not lost on me here by Malik Hooker.
Well, a little different.
A little different. It's not his podcast. He was a guest on, it was Keyshawn's.
Yes.
So that's different, but
and
still.
During the season versus not during the season.
Absolutely. I have no problem with Micah or any player doing a podcast on their off day. I think it's much, I assume he does the podcast from his house or a studio in town.
Yeah.
I would have a much bigger problem if you flew to LA to do the podcast on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right. That's a little different. You're dehydrating yourself and by flying and you just, you don't need two flights a week as an athlete.
Here's the thing I would like to know behind the scenes. Does everyone think that Micah Parsons is where he needs to be mentally, assignment-wise, in the playbook? That's to me what this is about. I don't care that Mike has a podcast either. Go ahead and have different revenue streams, man. You want to be in media? Start practicing for media. Capitalize. Good for you. But there have been some whispers behind the scenes about Micah being in wrong spots on the field. And I just wonder, when they're going over the film amongst the players or Mike Zimmer or Dan Quinn, if they're like, yo, Micah, why weren't you here, man? Like, that's your assignment.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know from this clip.
Right. Look, Micah does the sexy thing well.
Yes.
Sack the quarterback. By the way, what do the majority of fans pay attention to? They pay attention to sack numbers. I like to look at pass rush win rate, which, by the way, Micah wins every year. Best in the league. But most fans are like, show me the bottom line. You know, when he drops back, if he misses a coverage assignment, how many fans actually notice it?
Very few,
right?
I don't.
No, because we don't know what his assignment is.
Yeah, they would have to isolate him on the slow-mo replay.
Right, and this is what Bobby brings up when it comes to Pro Football Focus a lot, is that they don't know the assignment on every play. That's true. They admit it. You know, they try to hide that fact, but they know it. So, you know, Micah's doing what also... This is another little dirty secret about athletes. They do what gets them paid.
Sure.
This is what athletes do. Why in Major League Baseball, you ask, why doesn't Joey Gallo, when they're shifting on him, why doesn't he just hit the ball the other way? Because they don't pay for that. Athletes do what is going to get them paid. Is it right? I mean, it's reality. It's reality, right? They're just doing what's going to get
them paid. Didn't Kenny Smith ask that?
Yeah, that was it. Kenny Smith asked that in the
he threw the first TBS pitch. Nice first pitch, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. He asked that. He goes, good. And whoever, I think it was Frank Corey. He's like, that's what gets them paid. They don't pay for that. They don't pay for you hit the other way. They're doing what's going to get them money. And Mike is doing that. He's sacking the quarterback. It's what's going to get him money.
Now, I do think it's important to play more than just a clip. And Pepe went and got part two. This is Malik Hooker continuing to talk about Micah's pod.
But also, you know, a lot of people got to remember, Micah's young. You know, he's still trying to find his way. He's still trying to grow into who he's trying to be. So I give him grace, you know, honestly. Like, I always hear people say stuff that he done said on the podcast or something silly he done said. But people got to remember, like, Micah's still a big kid. Micah's still a big kid. And, you know, you can't fault a big kid for, you know, trying to expand as well as experiencing still stuff that they ain't really been through, because Mike only been in the league 4 years. Like, they're still experiencing stuff that he been through. He ain't never been through real adversity yet in the league. Like, he ain't seen that yet, you know. So I feel like over time and over these next couple years of experience and adversity, I guess, like, you'll see him start to change and how he approaches stuff like that, like the podcast and stuff like that. But like I said, it don't bother me.
See, I don't think you can leave the second part of that out.
Right.
That, if you're just going to react, as Micah mm-hmm. did, to the first 20-second clip, you're going to have a major problem with it. Now, you still may have a problem with, like, why did you even bring this up? Do you think I'm good to go? Do you think I'm handling my business in the film room? But Malik kind of backed off that in the same interview, and then he went on social media and he basically said, y'all stop trying to start stuff. He's my little bro. He knows it's all good. I'll see you in Oxnard.
See you in Oxnard, sir. I think this is much ado about nothing. Like, they're, yeah, is it going to be awkward when they see each other the first time? I'm sure, right? I mean, they're human. But at the end of the day, this is not, they're defensive player. Like, you know, Micah is going to rush the passer. That's what he does best. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to rush the passer.
A report from Calvin Watkins that CeeDee Lamb will not be joining us in Oxnard if he does not get his new deal, just like Zach Martin did.
Just like Zach Martin. So CeeDee is talking about a little bit of a holdout. Now, I would prefer the hold in, report to camp, and then you know, get on a private. Oh, my hamstring hurts. Fake an injury. Get on a private jet, go right to Cabo, and get on that golf course where Zeke was, where you're on the in the driving range, just working out in the driving range where Zeke was. That's what I would do. But, you know, they showed last year they're going to just pay up Zach Martin and just pay the rest of the money that he was owed, that he was fined for missing camp. If I was Dak and Micah, I'm joining. CeeDee, Dak, Micah, I'm going to join them. All three. I'm going to do the Friends, the Friends TV show. You pay us all, you don't pay any of us.
Pull the KMC move.
Absolutely. We're going to walk out. We're going to do a walkout here. Jerry, Mike. It's been real. We're going to the rudder room. Okay? I'll see you on the beach. We're doing laps with Jason Garrett, drinking lemonades. That's what I would do if I were them. You know, like that to me, because you know, you lose any one of those guys, maybe you could argue that you could still do, you know, you could still make the playoffs without CeeDee or without Micah. Probably not, but maybe you could say that. You lose all three of them, you're looking at a 4-win team.
Malik Hooker was asked by Keyshawn who should get paid first when it comes to the big three.
I wouldn't put Micah yet. I feel like Micah, I feel like we still got a lot to prove from Micah. Still has a lot to prove. Like he's done a great job his first couple years in the league. Don't get me wrong. He's a fantastic player. But I feel like Micah still has a surface that he don't even know that he can scratch as far as what he's doing. So I would say Micah. I would say Micah's last just for that reason. And I'll probably say Zach Martin would be at after Micah, for the simple fact of like Zach, he, you know, he's done what he's done in the league, and you know he is who he is. Like, you know, he's gonna be there. I would probably say CeeDee first. Let me just go there. I'll probably say CeeDee.
Sure, Micah loved hearing that as well. That Malik's like, no, not Micah yet. Micah's further down the line in terms of who should get paid.
Right. Hey, look, I mean,
Malik Hooker, he'll say some stuff.
Yeah,
I did not know this with the personality.
Nope. I mean, CeeDee is clearly. He's clearly the one that I think most fans would sign up for today.
Yes.
Even though Micah might be better at what he does,
yeah.
You know, some fans may get a little bit tired.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little different.
Yeah, it would go Dak is going to cause the biggest split of opinion. Then some are getting fed up with Parsons. And yeah. No one's fed up with Lamb.
No.
Lamb would be the number one that people root for.
He's tremendous.
Without arguing.
He's so good. He's such a good player. And he's a position of high value, too. They all are. They're all positions of high importance.
Yes.
You know, Micah, you know, obviously Dak is the most important position, but, you know, Micah's right there. You could easily make a case that wide receiver has now become the second most important position on the field.
What's going on with Brandon Ayuk?
So Brandon Ayuk has said he has given his potential two teams, that he might want to play for. One is in the NFC East and one is not. But he said if he's not going to be in the Niner uniform, it's most likely going to be with Washington or Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Which,
joining Micah in Pittsburgh.
Joining Micah in Pittsburgh. Yeah, look. How crazy
has Micah's offseason been that, like, that little comment? Like,
I know.
How many things have you forgotten about Micah's offseason of drama?
Absolutely. There's so many things. Now, if he were to leave San Fran and go, like, bring him on. Like, if Daniel stinks in Washington, it's not going to matter if they have him. You know, but this is, he's kind of setting the stage for maybe an exit from San Francisco. I think the Niners would be big time, big mistake letting him or Debo go. They've got a free quarterback for two more years. There's no reason to let him go now.
Let's introduce you to your newest Dallas Maverick. Why did Derek Jones Jr. leave? And who doesn't want Klay Thompson as the Mavs' missing piece? That kicks off the final hour of Sean and RJ right after this.
Where, like, words, like you making fun of somebody wasn't, like, bullying. Now,
Salmon, the book of snaps.
Yeah, now it's different. So it's like, you know, you wonder the generations and eras and how they...
This is from Jason Forsyth. Sean's a straight-up punk to Bobby, always talking mess like he's jealous, always seems butthurt that he got added.
Damn. Jeez. That's harsh.
You really wanted Bobby at it. Like, you were his like number one supporter.
Yeah. Bobby's Cowboys insider, kind of because of me, some would say, and maybe Brian brought us. J.R.A. Callie, your take is not off the mark. I feel like Bobby disrupted the chemistry of the show, and it is low-key ticked Sean off. It was just really interesting. Huh. And then someone goes, weren't they hanging out the other night? It's kind of a weird theory. If they hate each other, you don't hang out.
You don't hang out.
In off hours.
You don't hang out. Yes.
It's just, it's interesting to see perception.
I know. Because I think the chemistry of the show is as good as it has been in a long time.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the fact that Peyton's here, not Troy.
No. I'm just messing with you. The first thing you said.
You get Troy back next week. Chill out.
All right. So, covering the home of the Cowboys, Micah versus Malik. This is Malik Hooker on the Keyshawn Johnson podcast being asked if he or other Cowboys care that Micah does his podcast during the season.
Problem with him. My thing would be, though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, you know, just make sure we're all right, you know, where and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and, you know, the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and, you know, the run game is terrible, then, you know, what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that, you know, is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team in the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
Woo.
Okay.
Micah, not too happy. Responded back basically saying, yo, man, you got my number. We share lockers together. Why are you talking about my focus and not everybody else's? So that was Micah not happy, as you would expect, mm-hmm. with Malik Hooker basically questioning Micah's priorities.
Correct. The irony of criticizing a guy for doing a podcast while on a podcast is definitely not lost on me here by Malik Hooker.
Well, a little different.
A little different. It's not his podcast. He was a guest on with Keyshawn's.
Yes.
So that's different, but
and
still.
During the season versus not during the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with Micah or any player doing a podcast on their off day. I think it's much... I assume he does the podcast from his house or a studio in town.
Yeah.
I would have a much bigger problem if he flew to L.A. to do the podcast on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, that's a little different. You're dehydrating yourself and by flying, and you just... you don't need two flights a week as an athlete.
Here's the thing I would like to know behind the scenes. Does everyone think that Micah Parsons is where he needs to be mentally, assignment-wise, in the playbook? That's to me what this is about. I don't care that Mike has a podcast either. Go ahead and have different revenue streams, man. You want to be in media? Start practicing for media. Capitalize. Good for you. But there have been some whispers behind the scenes about Micah being in wrong spots on the field. And I just wonder, when they're going over the film amongst the players or Mike Zimmer or Dan Quinn, if they're like, yo, Micah, why weren't you here, man? Like, that's your assignment.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know from this clip.
Right. Look, Micah does the sexy thing well.
Yes.
Sack the quarterback. By the way, what do the majority of fans pay attention to? They pay attention to sack numbers. I like to look at pass rush win rate, which, by the way, Micah wins every year. Best in the league. But most fans are like, show me the bottom line. You know, when he drops back, if he misses a coverage assignment, how many fans actually notice it?
Very few,
right?
I don't.
No, because we don't know what his assignment is.
Yeah, they would have to isolate him on the slow-mo replay.
Right, and this is what Bobby brings up when it comes to Pro Football Focus a lot, is that they don't know the assignment on every play. That's true. They admit it. You know, they try to hide that fact, but they know it. So, you know, Micah's doing what also... This is another little dirty secret about athletes. They do what gets them paid.
Sure.
This is what athletes do. Why in Major League Baseball, you ask, why doesn't Joey Gallo, when they're shifting on him, why doesn't he just hit the ball the other way? Because they don't pay for that. Athletes do what is going to get them paid. Is it right? I mean, it's reality. It's reality, right? They're just doing what's going to get
them
paid.
Didn't Kenny Smith ask that?
Yeah, that was it. Kenny Smith asked that in the
he threw out the first
TBS.
Pitch. Nice first pitch, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. He asked that. He goes, good. And whoever, I think it was Frank Corey. He's like, that's what gets them paid. They don't pay for that. They don't pay for you hit the other way. They're doing what's going to get them money. And Mike is doing that. He's sacking the quarterback. It's what's going to get him money.
Now, I do think it's important to play more than just a clip. And Pepe went and got part two. This is Malik Hooker continuing to talk about Micah's pod.
But also, you know, a lot of people got to remember, Mike is young. You know, he's still trying to find his way. He's still trying to grow into who he's trying to be. So I give him grace, you know, honestly. Like, I always hear people say stuff that he done said on the podcast or something silly he done said. But people got to remember, like, Mike is still a big kid. Mike is still a big kid. And, you know, you can't fault a big kid for, you know, trying to expand as well as experiencing still stuff that they ain't really been through. Because Mike only been in the league 4 years. Like, they're still experiencing stuff that he been through. He ain't never been through real adversity yet in the league. Like, he ain't seen that yet, you know. So I feel like over time and over these next couple years of experience and adversity, it's like you'll see him start to change and how he approaches stuff like that, like the podcast and stuff like that. But like I said, it don't bother me.
See, I don't think you can leave the second part of that out.
Right.
That, if you're just going to react, as Micah did, to the first 20-second clip, you're going to have a major problem with it. Now, you still may have a problem with, like, why'd you even bring this up? Do you think I'm good to go? Do you think I'm handling my business in the film room? But Malik kind of backed off that in the same interview, and then he went on social media, and he basically said, y'all stop trying to start stuff. He's my little bro. He knows it's all good. I'll see you in Oxnard.
See you in Oxnard, sir. I think this is much ado about nothing. Like, they're... Yeah, is it going to be awkward when they see each other the first time? I'm sure, right? I mean, they're human. But at the end of the day, this is not they're defensive player. Like, you know, Mike is going to rush the passer. That's what he does best. He's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to rush the passer.
A report from Calvin Watkins that CeeDee Lamb will not be joining us in Oxnard if he does not get his new deal, just like Zach Martin did.
Just like Zach Martin. So CeeDee is talking about a little bit of a holdout. Now, I would prefer the hold in, report to camp, and then, you know, get on a private. Oh, my hamstring hurts. Fake an injury. Get on a private jet, go right to Cabo. And get on that golf course where Zeke was, where you're on the in the driving range. Just working out in the driving range where Zeke was. That's what I would do. But, you know, they showed last year they're going to just pay up Zach Martin and just pay the rest of the money that he was owed, that he was fined for missing camp. If I was Dak and Micah, I'm joining. CD, Dak, Mike. I'm going to join them. All three. I'm going to do the Friends. The Friends TV show. You pay us all, you don't pay any of us.
Pull the KMC move.
Absolutely. We're going to walk out. We're going to do a walkout here. Jerry, Mike, it's been real. We're going to the rudder room. Okay? I'll see you on the beach. We're doing laps with Jason Garrett, drinking lemonades. That's what I would do if I were them. You know, like that to me, because you know, you lose any one of those guys, maybe you could argue that you could still do, you know, you could still make the playoffs without CD or without Micah. Probably not, but maybe you could say that. You lose all three of them, you're looking at a 4-win team.
Malik Hooker was asked by Keyshawn who should get paid first when it comes to the big three.
I wouldn't put Micah yet. I feel like we still got a lot to prove from Micah. Still has a lot to prove. Like, he's done a great job his first couple years in the league. Don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic player. But I feel like Micah still has a surface that he don't even know that he can scratch as far as what he's doing. So I would say Micah's last just for that reason. And I'll probably say Zach Martin would be after Micah for the simple fact of, like, Zach, he's done what he's done in the league. And, you know, he is who he is. Like, you know, he's going to be there. I would probably say CD first. Let me just go there. I'll probably say CD.
Sure, Micah loved hearing that as well, that Malik's like, no, not Micah yet. Mike is further down the line in terms of who should get paid.
Right. Look, I mean...
Malik Hooker, he'll say some stuff.
Yeah.
I did not know this with the personality.
Nope. I mean, CD is clearly... he's clearly the one that I think most fans would sign up for today.
Yes.
Even though Micah might be better at what he does... You know, some fans may get a little bit tired.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little different.
Yeah, it would go... Dak is going to cause the biggest split of opinion. Then some are getting fed up with Parsons. No one's fed up with Lamb.
No.
Lamb would be the number one that people root for.
He's tremendous.
Without arguing.
He's so good. He's such a good player. And he's a position of high value, too. They all are. They're all positions of high importance.
Yes.
You know, Micah, you know, obviously Dak is the most important position, but, you know, Micah's right there. You could easily make a case that wide receiver has now become the second most important position on the field.
What's going on with Brandon Ayuk?
So Brandon Ayuk has said he has given his potential two teams, that he might want to play for. One is in the NFC East and one is not. But He said if he's not going to be in a Niner uniform, it's most likely going to be with Washington or Pittsburgh.
Oh. Joining Micah in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, look, I
how crazy has Micah's offseason been that, like, that little comment? Like,
I know.
How many things have you forgotten about Micah's offseason of drama?
Absolutely. There's so many things. Now, if he were to leave San Fran and go, like, bring him on. Like, if Daniel stinks in Washington, it's not going to matter if they have him. You know, but this is, he's kind of setting the stage for maybe an exit from San Francisco. I think the Niners would be big time, big mistake letting him or Debo go. They've got a free quarterback for two more years. There's no reason to let him go now.
Let's introduce you to your newest Dallas Maverick. Why did Derek Jones Jr. leave? And who doesn't want Klay Thompson as the Mavs' missing piece? That kicks off the final hour of Sean and RJ right after this.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.